to get out my head. Plug in the mic and leave nothing unsaid. Now sit back, relax, and listen to some real talk.
Now sit back, relax, and listen to some real talk.
You are now listening to Unspoken Words Podcast.
Unspoken Words episode 180.
Starts in the mind. It's only your mind that will make the impossible possible episode.
Holy smoke.
That one was a little off a little bit. It was off a little bit. Hey, yo, what name? Hey, no way.
A little bit off. Ain't no way. Hey, a little bit off.
It sounded like a power peyote meeting. Power peyote.
Hey, yo, what's up? If you're hearing this, that means you are tuned to the Unspoken Words. We are Unspoken Words. And to my left, all the way from Al-Jesus, you know him as your Algerian nightmare, the Pod Gotti himself, Mr. Randy B. Say Shoda.
Mahalo.
Mahalo. And to my, what side is this? Oh, this is the right.
Yeah.
Okay. And to my right, returning co-host, you know him as Chester Cheetah, the cheese himself. I couldn't think of anything else to say.
The Southside Anti-Slayer.
Southside Anti-Slayer.
I'm known by many names. The Goose Warrior. The Anti-Slayer. But today
Craig. He is Craig Doney. Say Shoda.
Shoda, hey.
You know me. Except no substitutes. I am your favorite Indian, regardless of the signs you might see on the street corners. I am JCB, and this is Unspoken Words.
You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with us. Hello.
You are here, riding in your car, sitting in your office, maybe your living room. Perhaps you're doing laundry, listening to us right here, right now.
Maybe you're on your way to work.
Maybe you're on your way to work.
Maybe you're on your way to Auntie's house.
Maybe you're listening with your smoochy partner.
Maybe you're with your side piece.
We don't care where you are.
Maybe you're with your extra auntie.
We don't discriminate.
Your baby mama.
We just thank you for being here.
Maybe
with
you're
us.
Back with the baby mama.
Sitting with us at our table. Aho.
Aho. Welcome. Aho. Welcome to the circle. Yeah, this is episode 180, and if you haven't noticed, even though, you know, we kind of did a little bit of trickery, we got somebody missing this evening. Mr. Mo Hugs, not drugs, is not in the studio, but he did record his pieces, and he actually recorded that intro. We might have to keep that. We might have to do that with all of us. Wow, all of you guys, because hey, I ain't never missed one. But, yeah, so... He's on it. Where exactly is he? Do you know?
Bemidji. He's out there in Bemidji. Oh, shit. He is. Oh, I think so. That's what he said. Yeah.
I like the way he said it.
All Indian, huh?
Yeah.
Bemidji. Bemidji.
He's out there in Bemidji. Oh.
Bemidji. But, needless to say, he isn't here, but wherever he is, safe travels. Don't eat the local cuisine.
What did they eat up there, fish?
I don't know.
And that's like northern Minnesota?
Yeah.
Yeah, northern Minnesota.
It's a lot of cheese.
A lot of cheese,
probably come, fishing. Probably got some ice fishing going on right now.
Yeah, fish and cheese sandwich.
Chewing on a cheese stick.
Cream cheese on everything.
Oh, man.
You gotta come back all blocked up.
My stomach hurt.
I wonder why.
8-17 different kind of cheeses in one day.
Oh.
But anyway, so I got some amazing factoids for you guys for your little brains to chew on. So that'll be our little warm-up for the evening. You guys ready?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
And just tell me what you really think.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm good at that.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's why I do this. Okay, so Bowentropy is the psychological disorder in which patients believe they are a cow.
I don't know, Doc. I'm suffering from a little Bowentropy today.
Bowentropy. Or what's it called?
Yeah, Bowentropy. B-O-A-N-T-H-R-O-P-Y.
My Bowentropy is really kicking up today. My flaring up.
I wonder if it's called something else if you think you're like a steer or a bull.
Is there actually people that think they're like animals?
Well, I did you see that dude in, I think it's Japan. He spent like 15 grand to turn himself into a dog.
Yeah. Nah, bro. Did you see that?
Yeah, yeah. One of those Lassie dogs. What are those called? Border Collie?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it looks like a dog.
Damn.
And then I seen like a story on there said something like he finally had his wish come true and they took him for his first walk.
Oh.
So maybe like if you were bad Bowentropy and your like dream comes true and they give you your first milking.
I don't know, man. It's a possibility.
Is he a dairy cow?
Ooh. It doesn't say, it just says are a cow. They believe they are a cow. I did see this one movie though. I can't remember. Oh, it's called Wolf. And there's these kids, they're like these young people are in this, I guess it's like a treatment center. But they all have different animals. And that the main star, he thought he was a wolf. One thought they were a cat.
So they're furries.
No, they don't dress up like, they don't dress up. They actually like take on the mannerisms. And
how come they didn't call it skinwalkers?
They don't have, well, I was going to say, they don't have skin. Of course they have skin.
Yeah, it's only the fur.
They're just mangy. All their fur fell out.
Alopecia.
Alopecia.
Their fucking fur fell out. All right. Moving on. There is a McDonald's on every continent except Antarctica.
No, I just read somewhere, man, I forgot the country that don't have a McDonald's.
That, well, it says continent. It doesn't say country.
Okay. So, Antarctica?
Yeah, Antarctica is no.
No, there's a country that doesn't allow McDonald's in their thing.
At all?
Yeah, because of the health. Like, bro, I think it was one of our previous show guests, G. He shared something on social media a while back. A picture of McDonald's food from like 20, 30 years ago, bro, still intact. The fries and the meal. I saw
the burger he got. That dude still got the receipt.
Yeah.
And it's like
I'll take a bite.
It's like 1998, and it looks exactly the same as if you just got it.
Would you really?
I would still take a nibble.
Just to try it out?
Yeah.
As soon as you bite into it, you probably turn to dust, huh?
Holy smokes,
Didn't you ever find like a half-eaten cheeseburger underneath your car seat?
No, we cooked a chicken breast that was still a little... Like, it wasn't cooked all the way, bro. And, man, that just, like, we just threw it out. We didn't even try it. Like, and the only reason why I'm saying that, sharing that about this is, like, bro, like, looking at that Big Mac or whatever, man, I wouldn't even touch that, bro. Like, it's
preserved. Yeah. I've seen that picture.
But living on the streets, I've put worse things in my mouth.
Yeah, no, true. Yeah, no, I feel it, bro.
Yeah, I put worse things in my mouth while I was drinking.
Tell me more. Tell me more.
Okay, so there's one time I... No. Okay, now that's definitely a segue into... Mosquitoes are attracted to people who just ate bananas.
What? So don't eat bananas in the summer?
Don't eat bananas in the summer. I guess if you're from Belknap, stay away from bananas.
There are always mosquitoes up there.
Oh, man, it's horrible. It's just horrible. If you ain't used to it, then, yeah. Okay, so check this out. I remember from my mom's front door to the car was parked on the street. It wasn't in the driveway. It was parked on the street on the corner, on the curb. But I ran out there real quick because I didn't want to get eaten up. So I ran to the car, and I jumped in, and I closed the door. I shit you not, dude, that you can hear those things hitting the glass, like... Like, you know, like bouncing off the glass, like trying to get in at me. I was like, nah, man, that's crazy.
You also don't want to go out like right when it's like mid dusk, because that's when they start swarming together, because that's when they're doing their mating dance.
Yeah.
And they're trying to attract a mate.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, oof.
Yeah, no one gets crazy, huh?
Okay, Sonic the Hedgehog's full name is Ogilvy Maurice Hedgehog.
Oh, Ogilvy Maurice, huh?
Ogilvy Maurice.
Mm. Ogilvy Maurice. Ogilvy Maurice.
Ogilvy Maurice. You should change your name to Maurice.
What? Maurice. How is that his full name? Like,
I don't know. It's, see, that's the thing with
how
this.
Do you get Sonic the Hedgehog from that? Ogilvy Maurice. Don't even sound like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Like Ogilvy, yeah. Like,
that's like his government name?
Is that, yeah, it's like
his slave name.
That's his Christian name.
Oh.
The world's termites outweigh the world's humans about 10 to 1.
I believe that.
So there's a lot of termites.
A lot of termites that identify as humans. What? I'm just kidding.
And those humans identify as cows.
kidding.
The human nose can remember 50,000 different scents.
Hmm.
50,000.
I almost said something, but I heard you.
I was going to say something, too.
You're like, what? Swassy? What? Come on.
It's a family show.
It failed. It stopped being a family show after episode one.
50,000 smells, but I can still remember her smell.
50,000 smells, but there's only one that I like. Hey, oh, yeah. That's one of the biggest triggers of memory is smell.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that one before.
Really?
Yeah. So you have a scent, and then all of a sudden your memory is triggered. Yeah, it smells like. I almost said something. Okay, moving on. Children tend to grow faster in the spring.
I believe that. Than the summer?
It doesn't, well, yeah, I guess so. It must be faster than any other season. See, that's what I was just going to say about that one before this, or a couple. That's all it does is says the fact. It doesn't do like those other ones. Remember, yeah. Kind of explain it a little bit?
Where it breaks it down?
Breaks it down, yeah. Just says children grow faster in the spring.
Like, is it because they're like carbo loading through the winter with all the holiday food?
Yeah. Might be, huh?
All that turkey and ham and one final Easter ham. Brunch. Yeah.
Easter ham.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Could be, or maybe it's because, you know, the sun's coming out and
more vitamins.
They're getting that
from the sun.
Yeah, they're getting that vitamin. Is it vitamin D?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're getting vitamin D. If you keep a goldfish in a dark room, it'll eventually turn white.
Really? I think I've heard that one before.
But I wonder,
what if you keep it in a black light?
It'll turn purple.
It has to be goldfish, though?
Yeah, it just says goldfish. But I wonder who the first person to figure that one out was. Why would you?
In the dark and see if it turns white.
And see if it turns white. So, well, I'd say, yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Like, if you stayed in a dark room most of the time, you'd be white, too.
Well, I mean, yeah. Like, remember people that are locked up, they turn fluorescent?
I've done that before.
Or you can get out and you...
I spend that's
it. They do, though, like, the, yeah. Especially those institutions that keep the light on, like, 24-7.
I was in Fergus County Jail for, like, I want to say 5 months, almost 6 months. But as soon as I got, the only reason why I got out is because I went to treatment in Browning. And when I went to Browning, man, you should have saw my skin, dude. I was like a shark belly.
Oh, man.
And those guys, when I first walked in there, one of the bros that was in there already. Later on, a couple weeks later, he told me, he goes, yeah, when I first saw you, I thought you were white. Because right. I was, dude. I was like pale as shit. Cause yeah. I never, at that county jail, they don't let you go outside. They don't even let you go out of the cell. Like, there's no.
Is it just like a unit?
Well, it's just like a hallway. It's like a Harden.
Man, I always hated Harden. The good thing about Harden was like the food. But like I've always been locked up here and I never got to go like well, I used to be able to go to like General Pop. But then I would start going to, you know, one or three.
Yeah.
And then you can turn off the lights off and on. Yeah. So that's my only experience.
Are you talking about the Harden one that's currently out there where they take everybody from the res out?
No. The Harden County.
Harden County. Oh,
because that one, they apparently have no windows. You can't go outside. So you just live in artificial
Yeah, I heard
light.
That one. Yeah, I heard that one's pretty rough, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they said it's pretty, like, it's like an institution, I've heard.
Yeah.
Like, you're really locked up in there.
That's what that one in Fergus County is like. It's just, you don't go anywhere. Like, you can go down. The only time you ever really leave is if you go to court, but you can go down to a
video.
A little tiny room, and there's like two bookshelves in there. You can get a book every once in a while.
Fergus County, where's that? Lewistown.
Lewistown.
How'd you get? Oh yeah, you told us the story, huh?
Yeah, I was driving back to Belknap one night, and drinking, pulled over, and just decided to stay there.
No, that reminds
you
me.
You weren't forced to stay. You were like, ah, I'll get this caught.
Yeah,
I'll wait till they catch me first.
Yeah.
So that's I don't even want to think about that. It's making me shudder. Okay, here's this one of the shortest ones. It says fish cough.
What?
That's probably why they have those gills. I'm just kidding.
Okay, so the other one made me think of the pre-release in Bozeman. They had this fish tank.
Yeah.
They had one great big fish. I don't know what kind of fish it was, but those guys would drop little M&Ms in there, peanut M&Ms, and that thing would get it and like roll it around in his little mouth. And then like that, like if it was a blue M&M, that blue smoke would come, or like blue, look like blue smoke coming out of his gills.
Really?
Yeah, that dye. And then it would like roll it around in its mouth and then spit out the peanut. It would eat the chocolate. Then when the chocolate was gone, it would spit the peanut out.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Yeah. Are they still across from the campus?
That's right next to the sheriff's office or the jail. It was like right like there in their parking
lot.
Oh,
the jail like this and then they were kind of...
Right there, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Like they were basically in their parking lot. But they had an M&M fish.
Did they move to jail over there?
It was brand new when I was over there. This was, I want to say, 09, 10.
Yeah, it's kind of in the back there.
Okay, an ant's sense of smell is stronger than a dog's.
That's why she always knows I'm near.
Yeah, I like what you did there. I like what you did there. That's how she
That's
knows.
That's funny.
And she knows all 50,000 of my scents.
That's crazy. You ever see those ants work together, though? Like those videos and stuff? Like,
yeah.
Like they have teamwork?
At every feed.
Yeah.
I wanted to try one. No? Wah, wah, wah. All right, we'll do a couple more, and then we'll get on to our topic of the day.
Okay.
Despite its hump, camels have straight spines.
Camels hump.
Camels
run rush hour.
Camels hump. So yeah,
it's kind of good. We need a little bit of hot sauce though, but it's kind of good though.
I wonder what that. Oh man, I don't know.
I wonder what it was, huh?
Camels hump.
I know, but I've never found any of that in any Asian.
Because over there, they eat real Asian food. Over here, we got like...
No, like when we were in San Francisco, bro, like I didn't find any of that.
It's probably just messing with you then.
I wonder if it's real, huh? We should Google that.
I know shark fin is.
Yeah.
I've been to some sketchy Chinese places like down in Denver.
Yeah.
Like I went into this, I think it was a Korean restaurant. The menu was in Korean. And I just pointed at a picture, and they just started bringing me out food. And I was like, I don't even want to know what it is because it tastes good. And I don't want my
kind of kill the fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want the fantasy to end. Because if somebody told me that is an animal I'm not supposed to be eating, I would be mad.
Like, yeah. Like a literal cat.
Yeah. Go home and try to cook some cat.
Some cat. Try to make it like the restaurant. Yeah. I keep trying, but it just ain't coming out right.
40 cats later, I still can't get the recipe right.
Can't get the recipe right.
Yeah, I went through a whole animal shelter. I wonder
what part of the cat they cook.
Keep adopting cats.
The back strap.
Oh, man.
The hind quarter. The jumping muscles.
That's gross. The shanks.
You guys are getting way too big of a kick out of that.
The shanks.
Okay. I'm just imagining myself sitting there preparing, because I cooked for many years, just preparing the cat, just going through the process of just gutting out a cat and preparing every part.
They probably fillet it, huh?
Probably.
No, they probably just do like puppies and just boil the meat off.
Is that what they do to puppies?
Yeah. And boil the meat off.
I've never had.
So, some girl, when I was in, when I was going to school at Chamal, broke it down. They just toss it in the ashes to burn the hair off. And then I think they boil it.
Man, crows used to eat dogs, too.
I'm sure a lot of people did.
Yeah, crows used to eat dogs, too, bro.
It ain't, it, I don't think anybody's above what are having they? At some point.
I almost went into a tribalism joke, but I better chill.
Would you rather eat your dog or your horse?
Probably get more meat out of the horse.
Yeah, but you get more use out of a horse, too.
True, true. No, for real, yeah.
So when it comes down to surviving.
Okay, so check this out. This is what my uncle always used to say. They say dog is a man's best friend, but a horse is. Because if you die, your horse ain't going to eat you.
Do you know the difference between a cat and a dog when you die?
Hmm.
A cat will know that you're dead, but start at your cheeks because that's the softest part for them to start eating. A dog will recognize your face and will start at your feet because he doesn't want to hurt his owner.
That's nice of him. Because if my dog died, like, if we're stranded on an island, one of us is going to eat the other one. And I'm cool with that.
I don't even want to be thinking about nothing like that, dog.
And I practiced on those 40 cats, so I know exactly how to prepare you.
What if you, like, cut the arm off and just dipped it in there and had a drumstick or something?
Like, start whittling them down?
This part looks like it's going to be good.
You start with the tail. You know?
Oh. You don't need this leg, man. You only need three legs.
Have them chilling there with you?
Pretty soon they're going to rescue you.
Try some of this.
Just going to have a body and a head.
Looking like a bean.
Sewed together.
All sewed together. Okay. All right. We'll do one more. We'll do one more before. Okay. Going back to mosquitoes. Wouldn't you know mosquitoes have 47 teeth? So, yeah, chew on that.
Yuck.
47 teeth. My question is where at and why? Because don't they have like the straw? Or maybe it's on the straw.
Maybe.
I don't know, man. I never seen a mosquito up close. I always freaking just smack them.
You ever, like, really try to tough it out and wait till their belly turns red and then hit them?
I don't know.
Till they can splat blood?
I hate being bit, bro. Like, it sucks.
I'm trying to fathom a mosquito tooth right now. Like, what does it look like? What is it made out of? Is it made out of the same material as our teeth?
If you captured a mosquito, what would happen? Like, put it in a freaking bottle. But
probably die.
Could you though?
Catch a mosquito?
Yeah,
I'm sure you can.
And then can you make like little air filters so it can't get out?
Just put it in like a screen top.
Yeah.
Like a screen door.
We should, though, and kind of see a magnifying glass, see if you can see the teeth.
Look at you, look through your glass and he's just smiling at you.
When I get out of here.
When I get out of here.
I'm going to bite you.
These teeth. See all, these 47 of them.
One of them had the number 47 right there.
All right. So you guys feeling warmed up?
Absolutely.
That was a good one. I like that. That was fun. That was really fun. Thank you for telling me, guys, what you really think. So, without further ado, somebody say hit me with that beat thing.
Hit me with that beat. Ayo, let's get into our topic. Ayo, let's get into our topic.
Don't laugh, Big Chief will get after us.
So, keeping with our, I guess our tradition or what our format, we are today being the first episode of the month, our last episode, or is it the first? It's freaking April now, isn't it?
Yes.
Fourth.
All right, hold on. Let me catch up to April. Being the first episode of the month, we are now going to cover another step of the Wild Briety teachings. But so now, this being the fourth month, we're going to do the fourth step. It is the second of, I guess they got them in groups of three. The first three were face the east, find the creator. Step one was harmony. Step two was hope. Step three was faith. And now we face the south, finding ourselves. And step four is courage. And it reads as follows. We stopped and thought about our strengths and our weaknesses and thought about ourselves. And I guess I'll get this party started. You know, I don't even remember what I said the last time we did step four, but when I read this, and hopefully I'm not repeating myself, but the first thing I thought of was like when we stopped and thought about our strengths and our weaknesses and thought about ourselves. Like for me, that really does take courage because thinking about my using self, like, man, what a POS, dude. Like, why would I want to think of that guy? You know, all the BS that I used to pull, you know, hurting not only myself, but, you know, my family, my parents, my kids, everybody around me. But it, you know, and it takes courage to stop and say, okay, I'm the one that did that. I can't sit there and act like a victim. I can't sit there and say, well, I was hanging out with Craig and Randy and they were drinking, so I had to drink too. Bullshit. I wanted to hang out with them because they were drinking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that I got to start accepting responsibility and take accountability for my shit, like clean my side of the road. And, you know, to look inside myself and say, you know, man, I was not a good dad. I was not a good son. I was not a good Indian. You know, I wasn't, you know, a productive member of my community, right?
Yep.
And that's not easy to say. Like, it gets easier as time goes on, but when you really have to stop and think about that shit, it's like, man, I don't want to face that because that's what I was running from. Like, that's some of the things I was running from. That's why I was drinking and using. Like, man, I don't want to. Every time I stop, man, that guilt and that shame and that embarrassment and all of those other horrible, you know, feelings are popping up. So that's what I'm trying to avoid. And, you know, it talks about strengths, too. And I just wanted to touch on that real quick, too. It's like having such low self-esteem and low self-worth and a low self-image. Like, I was ashamed to even have strengths, if that makes any sense, right? Somebody could say, you know, you're a really good artist, or, oh, you write really well, or, you know, oh, you're really intelligent. I would blow it off and say, oh, you're just saying that, or, you know, what do you want from me kind of thing? Or I would feel embarrassed. Like if somebody said, hey, you're really smart. Like I think with that whole crab bucket mentality, And this idea that nobody wants you to rise above them, like, you know, we're always kind of, in a way, putting each other down. Like, yeah, this guy thinks he's too good. He thinks he's real smart. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Just those snide little shitty-ass comments.
Kind of like self-esteem.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, like, the people around you almost make you feel bad for being intelligent, showing intelligence, getting good grades, going to school all the time, doing the right thing. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no, it's kind of like, I don't know, I think, oh, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but just while this thought is quick, it's like, it's almost like when you look at, like, these rappers, right, and most rappers are killed in their own community, right? But I think it's, like, cross-cultural. Like, that's kind of how it is in our community. It's, like, have not just that crap bucket mentality, but it's, like, man, the worst attacks always come from those that know us the most.
From within.
Or know who we used to be, right? Like, they carry those same... Almost like the most hate comes from the people that should be supporting us the most.
And I think that it was designed that way. Like, we were... Because if I... teach you two how to hate each other, I don't have to lift a finger. I'll let you two destroy each other.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do anything. I just add a
that was my design, huh?
Add a little bit of whatever, a catalyst, a spark to it, you know. But
divide and conquer, man.
Yeah,
that's what it was, huh? And yeah. then like even now, like certain things in the mainstream media, like that's the thing, huh?
Yeah, and see, and that goes back to, like, why would I be so afraid of my own strength, right? Like, why would I be...
Scared to succeed.
Scared to succeed, scared to be intelligent, scared to, you know, be any of those things that are good. Like, I shied away from them because I didn't have the courage to say, you know what, I am a success. And even to this day, I still can't quite figure that one out. I'm sure, you know, somebody who's deeper into this, working these steps in and, you know, psychology or whatever, however you want to put it, they probably say, well, you know, this and this. But, like, man, if I could figure that part of it out, like, I wish I would have figured it out a long time ago. I know part of it was ingrained in me just from upbringing, but... and then like the last part of it, you know, we think we thought about ourselves, and that can go so many different ways. But rather than, you know, the first part about, or the first thing that I thought of when I thought about this part was like thinking about myself, like everything has to start with me, right? And I always say this, I say this all the time, like if we want to change the world, we have to start from the inside and work our way out. And for once, thinking about myself and all those negative thoughts I had about myself, learning to love myself, like do I have the courage to love myself? Do I have the courage? Remember you're always saying, Randy, that we give other people so much grace, but we don't give ourselves that kind of grace, like do I have the courage to do that? Right. And so when I think about myself, I think for me personally, it's like learning how to love me and say that, yeah, and, you know, even though I've made mistakes in the past is the past, you know, I'm putting in work right now and I am worthy of success. I am worthy of having a good life. I am, you know, all these really positive things. And sometimes it's hard because there still wants to be that block.
No, and that brings up a good point, man. Valid. It's like, so I was watching this guy and he was saying like every time he encounters these thoughts, right? Like where we feel like we're not good enough or we feel like, and I was talking, you know, like for me, like it would probably be like forgiving somebody, right? Like, and then. Because outwardly, we journal, we speak it, and then when that thought comes in, right, of, like, having something against somebody, like, catching that thought in a moment and being like, hey, put that down, JC. Put that down, Randy. That's not yours to pick up. Like, having these actual conversations in our head is, like, so...
what would I say? Having these conversations and telling ourselves in that moment, like, hey, that's not mine to pick up. Like a reminder, you know? Because I know there's, like, things where I battle, and I like it. I didn't mean to take over, but, like, step four is, like, we stopped and thought about our strengths and our weaknesses and thought about ourselves. And I feel like it's, like, a never-ending step. Like, we never get to the end. Like, even now, I've been talking about, like, healing. Like, I don't want to just be known for, like, being hit. Like, I don't want to be on this healing journey forever. Mm. But I also know that I have so far to go. I'm not where I used to be. And now it's like battling those thoughts, those inner thoughts that we don't tell anybody else. The one, like, you know, like maybe it's imposter syndrome. Like for me, like 40 years old, going back to college. You know what I mean? But the thing is, like, one of my strengths is always being a student, always learning. Like, even if I wasn't in an institution, I've always been a reader. I've always been a writer. You know what I mean? Those are my strengths, but some of the weaknesses that I'm dealing with is like telling people what I really think,
yeah,
you know, and not maybe, you know, and there's other weaknesses too, like, but trying to find that balance. Because I think like now, like where I'm at, like, bro, like, especially in parenting, like I want to teach my daughter by example, like, hey, and we just had this conversation on the way down here because she was like, daddy, like, what do we do like with this? And I said, man, like, look at, people want to be where you're at, but they're not willing to put in the work that you're willing to. Because on the way down there, she was like, daddy, I got a lot better at the speed bag. Like, dog, she can't even reach it. So she goes and gets a chair and she puts it against that wall and she stands on that chair and she's teaching herself how to use the speed bag. And that's where, like, man, it was a father moment, man. It was like, but you're willing to learn. That's why you're going to go far. I was like, this is why I won't let you stop doing what you're doing. Because if you choose to stop now, you're always going to stop in the future. Even on those days, like when you don't feel like going, like life is not easy. You know what I mean? Like taking some of my things that I never learned, taking some of my weaknesses and showing my daughter, this is what I struggled with. But this is where you're going to excel at. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because it's like, man, we think about ourselves and then also like thinking, and I know like thinking as a parent too is like, okay, like myself, I know what I thought at that age. I know, you know what I mean? Like understanding who I was and then being like, man, this would be valuable for her. Not saying that we always do it perfectly, but you know, it's like a learn. That's why I say like we're never perfected. But it's like I think about like not only my healing journey, but when I think about like making that decision to go to treatment, like I didn't go willingly. Like I didn't, like for me too, like even in my belief system, I never came into the kingdom willingly.
Yeah.
I came because I had to. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like I never believed in God. Because I wanted to, man. If you heard me 10, 12 years ago, everything was F God this and F God that. Where the F is your God at?
Yeah.
But because of my experience and my encounter, it taught me the value of believing in something that was greater than me. Because I realized, like, at the end of the day, like, I almost lost that. But it wasn't until I prayed that I was given a second chance. And then even when I went to treatment, it wasn't my decision to get clean. I got clean because it was required of my probation. It wasn't until I thought with a clear mind that, hey, man, it's kind of cool like being sober. And then when I think about myself, like 9 years ago, I never saw my life the way it is now. And I'm nowhere that I want to be right now. But the vision has just gotten bigger. And I was just in a conversation today about like, okay, like these next 10 years, this is what's going to happen. Like I never thought about that. You know what I mean? Like
we never take these things into consideration, but I feel like we're always in this point, like, where we have to look introspectively, looking inside, because like JC said, everything starts with us.
Yeah.
Like, where do I fit at in this plan? Why do I think this way? Is this right or is this wrong? Like, almost unlearning some things that we were taught from when we were young. You know, like, and that's why, like, for me, like, at 40 years old, like, bro, like, yesterday I just registered for summer semester and fall semester. Like, I already got it planned out. And now, after having this semester under my belt, I'm like, okay, this is what's required of me. You know what I mean? Like, this is what it requires of me. Whereas previously, being scared to succeed, I would have never pulled the trigger. So being scared to succeed actually held me back for so long. But now, like, being in the rooms that I'm in and encountering the people that I'm in, I'm like, man, like, this person just learned everything that they need to learn, and they never let anything stop them. And we can apply that to so many different facets in life.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking about my final, and I'm considering this podcast. Taking this equipment to class, I mean, after clearing it with my, you know, with these guys, like, taking it and showing these students, like, hey, this is what it takes to build a podcast from beginning to end. Right? You come up with a script, intro, your body, and then the conclusion. Having a basic outline. Pressing record and then going through the process to upload it. You know, like, thinking about those strengths and those weaknesses. But then now I'm like, okay, like, when I graduate, see, the language has changed. Because being a leader, like, we have to demonstrate, and I feel like we're all leaders, right? Like, demonstrate through our actions of who we see ourselves to be. But even then, like, even in our addiction, bro, like, man, thinking about the things that we've gone through in addiction, nothing ever stopped us.
Yeah.
But then when all of a sudden we think with a clear mind, and I'm speaking to myself too, like, everything stops us. It may not be the alcohol or the drugs, but it may be like the pursuit of a better life.
Yeah.
It may be the pursuit of a relationship. It may be whatever the case may be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we limit ourselves. When in reality, bro, like, we always have to take inventory. We always have to be self-aware. And I'm not nowhere near where I want to be. But I'm thankful that I'm not where I used to be. Because the previous Randy would give up before he even started. At least if I do what I'm doing now, especially with college. Like, even if I fail, you know what? I gave it my best shot. We can't be afraid of failure.
No.
At all. That's kind of like where my mind's at. Like, that's where I'm thinking, like, myself, like, one of the strengths and probably a weakness too is not giving up. And I think about it, like, growing up, man, with my older brother, like, we would get into battles, bro. And my brother's older than me, so he would always whoop my ass. But, bro, I'd still be getting beat up and still fighting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, those lessons back then, like, even today, like, you know, hanging on to things longer than I should. Why? Because I don't want to give up. I don't want to be that quitter. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want my brother to beat me this time. But it's like, I feel like that's like changing the game. Like, even with my daughter, like, having the courage to be like, hey, this is where your dad failed at. This is where he's weak at. But you know what? We're going to take that weakness that's in this family right now, and we're going to flip it and turn it into a strength. And everything that dad wasn't good at is going to become a strength in your life. And then you do that with your children.
and then your grandchildren. Like, that's what it means, like, leaving a legacy, right? Because ultimately, bro, like, when my life expires here on earth, like, I want my kids and my grandkids to be walking in the vision. Like, when we talk about ancestors and stuff like that, that's what they thought. Like, and Josiah talked about on previous podcasts, like, they thought seven generations ahead. That's how we have to think. That's why when you chose to stop using drugs and alcohol, you changed the curse in your family, and it became a healing in your family. Especially, like, for you, even you, JC, like, willing to confront those things, bro, like, became a strength. Even if you aren't a confrontational person, you still confronted the things that are haunting you, right? Like, and it's becoming a strength in your life. And then even if we fail, bro, like, even if we don't become anything, one thing that we are is consistent and reliable as F.
Yeah.
180, like, you, when you consider a 180, I was thinking about this today, like, when we consider a 180, what is a 180?
Middleweight.
Flip a bitch.
It's like, man, you know what? You, like, you completely change the direction.
Ah.
Right? Like, the direction of our lives. We did a 180, bro, and we went back, like, and now we're backtracking because there's some things that we got to clear up.
I was thinking of fighting, like, weight class.
That's true, too.
Fighting mode.
But, yeah. Like, you know, like, you're going down the road, man, you flip a 180 and you go back and you start confronting the things that beat you previously.
Yep.
Thought patterns. Weaknesses. Turning them into strengths. Making those strengths into even stronger strengths. Like, I just entered into writing class. I signed up for a writing class. One thing that I found out about myself is I love to write. I created this newsletter. It was about the Timberwolves. But, bro, I had a lot of fun. You know what I mean? But my goal is to turn into, like, I want to make that into a strength. You know, like, that's kind of where my mind went, man. Thank you.
What about you, Mr. Cheesy?
I thought you were still going with yours.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Go. Oh.
Okay. So what it made me think is I kind of did it reverse when I did my step, right? I was sitting there thinking about myself, thinking, because it's always about Craig. It doesn't matter anybody in my life. When I was using it, it was about Craig. And going into the step, I was still thinking, woe me. Like, look at what God did to me. Look at all this. Look at what she did to me. Look at what he did to me. I was not taking in any consideration of what I did to them. Because it was me. And my weakness was right there is thinking about me. I wasn't thinking about others. And I'm sitting there, and I remember writing the columns, and after every one of those, it was anger, angry. I was mad, and I remember sitting there, and my sponsor was just like, why? Why? Because everybody knows anger is a secondary emotion. What was the primary emotion that made you angry? And how did that affect you? I'm sitting there like, well, it made me mad. That's how it affected me. No, it was the fears. All the, it talks about it in the big book, the thousand forms of fears that drove us into continuing the cycle, right? And it was the fear of failing, the fear of disappointment, the fear of not succeeding in life that caused these irrational core beliefs in me that my own mother used to abandon me and I didn't think I was worth anything. So why would I want to try to be something I didn't believe that I could be? The person who was supposed to believe in me unconditionally didn't believe in me. Why should I believe in myself? And that was like one of the biggest weaknesses inside of me that I set myself up for failure right out the gate, right? And I'm sitting there just thinking about like all this stuff then it, I got to the strengths of, like, that not giving up that you were talking about. Then I started, started seeing a pattern that even though life has kicked me down, I still refuse to give up.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when I lost a job, I got a new job. I know it was just to fund my habit, but, like, that work ethic, that drive to never stop moving forward. And that was one of my biggest strengths. And I'm sitting there thinking about, like, all right, well, obviously I did all this stuff. It didn't matter what they did. That's their story, and their part in it has nothing to do with me, right? And it's what I did to them and how it affected me of exactly, like, let's get a scenario like my ex-wife leaving, right? I blamed her because, oh, she should have stuck around with me. No. She did what she needed to do to save herself from a crippling relationship. And at the time, I was scared because I thought I was always going to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the main fear that was driving me, my depression, and it kept on driving me to that bottle. But then when I realized that, yeah, I might be alone, that she left me because of my drinking, that was slight of the catalyst that drove me to put down the bottle. And then it's like, all right, look at the bigger picture. God gave her the strength to leave me. It was a 10-year-long relationship, right? Mm-hmm. That would take a lot for a woman to just step away from that. And when I finally made it up to her and she said, yeah, it hurt her to have to do that, to see me suffering the way she did, but she could no longer do that. So there had to be an outside power that gave her the strength to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
God was doing stuff for me that I could not do for myself. And it was only when I started breaking down all these scenarios that happened to me that I truly found the true strength. It was when I realized that God was doing far more stuff for me than I could even imagine doing for myself. Putting me in scenarios, putting me in the pain that I went through, that it taught me not to give up, taught me keep on moving forward, taught me how to be resilient, how to be thankful. And now all this experience that I got through, I can use it through my job. I can be like, hey, I've been through that too. I know this is painful, but, and start talking to them on how I was able to walk through that. And it was only by actually working the step. And I remember I did this step. I did about 70% of the step. And I was sitting there. I started tearing up because all the stuff I did. And I'm like, man, I was a piece of crap. And I threw it in my dresser and it sat there. It sat there for 6 months. And it started eating at me because it was unfinished. And all the stuff that I boiled up to the surface was not going anywhere. I was sitting there torturing myself, right? So once I finished it, I realized I wasn't a bad person. I was a sick individual who did not know any better.
Thank you.
A sick individual that sat there and didn't know he had any worth to give. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a bad guy. I just, the only solution I knew was to use. And addiction is it's a family disease, right? Because it will sit there and beat me to a pulp. And when it knows it doesn't, it has me on the ringer and knows that I'm defeated, it's going to attack my family too. Mm-hmm. It's going to cause me to do stuff that I never wanted to do. Cause me to do all this horrendous stuff that was on that list. But the thing is, the strengths that
I have as well help me repair those damaged relationships. Those, like, I made amends to people I thought I would never make amends to. And all they said is, we've been waiting for you to forgive yourself. And that's the whole process of this, right? The steps right here is the process of finding oneself. And yeah, you want to have these people forgive you, but the whole thing is for you to forgive yourself. Like I said earlier, for you to find out that you're not a bad guy, you're just sick and you need the help.
No, I like that, man.
I'm glad you put it that way. I'm glad you said that, because one of the things I've said in the past too is, like, you know, you're using and drinking and stuff like that. It's that's not you. That's not the real you. Like, the real us is, yeah, I'll say that. The real us is, we're sitting here right now. We're not perfect. And like Randy said, we're always trying to improve. But this is the true, this is our true selves. This is our true nature. We're empathetic. We're helpful. We're kind. We're considerate. You know, we want to help other people. That version, when we were drinking and using and all that shitty ass stuff, I can't say that I was a POS. That version was, that person that was possessed by that addiction, that sickness, that disease, that person was a POS. And that's not me. That's not how I started out when I came out of my mama's womb. And that's not where I'm at today. So I think it's important that we like, and it's hard to, you know, when we're coming out of that, it's hard not to identify, like, man, all that shitty ass stuff that I did. Like, how, you know, it's hard not to identify with that. Like, that was me. But in a sense, like, you already kind of, you know, you already mentioned it. It's like, I'm not a bad person. I'm just, I was sick. There was something wrong with me. I had a disease, and I didn't know any other solution other than to use. And so I think it's important that we distinguish that, that we make sure we tell not only ourselves, but that we tell the people that are going through that part of it right now, like, that's not you. You're looking for your true self, like he said, that real you. And, you know, like Randy's always saying, you know, try to find the gold in people. That gold is what we're made out of. But we just covered it with so much bullshit. It's hard to see it.
Hurt, pain. No, you kind of bring up a good thing, because it, like, reminded me of, I ran into somebody from my past, and they only know the using Randy, and they've never seen me because they live out of state. And, man, they just reminded me of all the stuff that I did. I was like, man, inside I was like, man, like, because when I seen this person, I was happy to see them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, man, I ain't seen you in a while. Like, but this person just brought all the, like, shameful stuff that I did, like, that I've worked to get through. That's all they wanted to talk about. Man, you remember that when you were doing, and yada, 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 and I'm like, man, everything in me wanted to be like, dog, like, shut up now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it was like, that kind of brings me back to, like, what JC was saying about, like, being crabs in a bucket. Like, that may have been what I did back then. But how come you can't congratulate what I'm doing now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially, yeah, like, when you think about it, like, this person's like, yeah, I listen to you guys. I don't know if they do now, but you know what I mean? I was like, damn, like, because I feel like that's really how all that negative self-talk, like, comes in. It's like telling us where we took our missteps, even when we're constantly trying to work on ourselves. You know, and then I think about, like, man, when have I done that to people? When have I thrown people's past into their faces?
Yeah.
Even if it's not in a time of, like, disrespect, but more of a conversation. Reminded this person about all the ugly things that they did. All the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, man, like, I left that conversation, and I was like, that kind of sucked. You know, because, like, we're almost a decade in. Oh, but I was telling him about, like, you know, like the crab in the bucket you were saying. Mm. So I ran into somebody from my past right around the holidays, and they just kept, they're like, they said they were proud of me, but they kept bringing up all the stuff that I did back then. And it was kind of hard to work through, you know? But that kind of made me realize, like, bro, like, we have so far to go. I think, like, for myself. And I think about, like, man, like, I think that's why we're so good at empathy, too. Or compassion. Because compassion is considering ourselves, but also taking action.
Yeah.
Right? Like, seeing people in a certain situation, you're like, man, I remember that. So I'm going to do what I can in my power to help them change that. Where empathy is like, man, I feel bad for that person going through that, but nothing's being done. I feel like that's Randy's definition of empathy and compassion. It's like empathy feels it, but doesn't do anything. Compassion is like, man, that sucks, but they take an action. I don't know why I was going with that, but that's what I got.
Well, you guys want to hear what Josiah has to say?
Yes.
So I got to make sure I hit this right button. But what was I going to say? Obviously nothing that was true. It must have been a lie because I can't remember. Oh, yeah. Okay, I got it. So here's what Mo Hugs, Not Drugs. This is his take.
Oh, this is Mo Hugs, Not Drugs coming to you on episode 180. I'm out of town. So pre-recording my piece on step four, Wellbriety step four. So with this step, we're going out of facing the east and we're going to facing the south. And steps four, five, and six are about finding yourself. Step four is courage. We stopped and thought about our strengths and our weaknesses and thought about ourselves. Now, this is very... Yeah, it definitely takes courage, like the title of the step says, because you have to look at yourself honestly. Take an honest look at yourself, and it's like for far too long, you know, like the first 32 years of my life, things were happening to me because of this person doing this or that person doing saying this and doing that. Things were happening to me like I had no accountability for the majority of the time in taking ownership in what was happening to me. Like, I made some really shitty decisions, but I would not have made those decisions if so-and-so didn't say this and so-and-so didn't do that. It's because they did those things and it's because they said those things that I made this shitty decision and I'm in the circumstance that I am today. And so that was a lot of the, a lot of where I was coming from for the first 32 years of my life. And it was just like chaos. And it was like, I rarely took accountability, I guess. Especially when it came to my addiction, when it came to my addiction, I blamed everybody. Everybody else had a problem with my drinking. I didn't have a problem with my drinking, and so on and so forth. And to the point where, you know, I almost drank myself to death just because of that one little thing that I was hanging on to, that these things were happening to me. Now, when I, you know, was sick and tired of being sick and tired and went into treatment, wanting to be a sponge and absorb, as much information as I could, as I can. And I started the process of, you know, my counselor and all the workers at the treatment facility telling me, hey, you got to take an honest look at yourself. That's where you got to start. And they started talking about this trail of destruction. And I was just kind of like, I wonder, did I leave a trail of destruction? Because in my addiction, like, especially that last hoorah of 2015, that summer, I was convinced that I was just doing this to myself. My kids were safe and fine. The fact that another marriage had ended and ended in divorce and all that was just like, hey, man, I just got out of a bad situation type of deal. Like, I was lucky type of deal. Like, that's where my addiction had me thinking crazy thoughts like that. Like, my kids are okay. I'm paying child support. They're getting money. They're safe with their moms. And so I was just free to go about and drink a half a gallon of vodka and beer every day. And so, but when I got to the recovery and I started working on myself and started taking an honest look at myself, it was difficult. It was very hard to look at myself and look at the things that I did. And I chose to do those things. Like nobody else had a say in those things. Like I chose to drink and drive multiple times, hundreds if not thousands of times. And sometimes there's people in the car with me, and sometimes there wasn't. And sometimes I would remember, and sometimes I wouldn't remember. And so I was playing a very dangerous game with on that piece, and I had to look at that and like, man, oh man. I remember early on the shame and the guilt, the cringeworthiness of that fact alone, that I was in the car driving down a country road with my kids in the car, and I was just like, dang, man, like, I'm lucky to be here. Like, you know, my kids are lucky to be here. And it's just like, you know, now hindsight's 20/10. Like, what was I thinking? Like, but I wasn't thinking. I didn't have no accountability. I was there in that state because, like I was saying before, this person said that or this person did that and drove me to drink, drove me to do this and drove me to do that and blah, blah, blah. But when, you know, when I started looking at myself in those situations, I was like, geez, like Jiminy Christmas, Josiah, what were you thinking? And so, yeah, like that's just, it takes a lot of courage and to sit there with that and to deal with that, accepting that I did make a lot of shitty decisions and I did hurt a lot of the people that loved me, like all of them. Everybody that loved me, I hurt them. In my addiction, my trail of destruction, still making amends for a lot of that. And a lot of that is living amends. But looking at that initially, like, it takes a lot of courage and a lot of just to sit there with that and be like, wow, man, I did that. And I try to keep those fresh, you know, that understanding that when you first get to recovery and you kind of look at yourself like that in that first initial kind of weeks, months, and that cringeworthiness of what you did, I want to keep that memory of that. I want to keep that fresh because I could just as easily go back out. I could just easily be back out there. And I don't know if I got another recovery in me. I know I have another relapse in me. I know I got another use in me. I know that's there. But I don't know if I'll come back. And that's the part of like this walk that I want to keep fresh and to remind myself that I could just easily go back out. And it's like one thing I think the Creator has blessed me with. Others might see it differently. Others might not even have these and they feel blessed to not have these. And I would agree to some point on that, but like using dreams, I think it's a blessing. I at least have one a year, every calendar year. I at least have one. Some years, you know, it's multiple, two or three during a year and stuff. But to me, those are blessings because it's a great reminder for me. Like, okay, man, I could just easily go back out and I better make sure I'm pouring into my recovery. I'm making sure I'm going out there every day and getting that rent money for my recovery. I'm putting in work on my recovery every day. Because, you know, like the cliche says, you might be sitting here in these rooms working on your recovery, but your addiction is out there. It just got done running 20 miles and it's pumping out 1,000 push-ups. It's getting stronger, or you're getting stronger. And I'm just like, dang. So, and even now, like step four, I think is very crucial throughout your walk on a recovery, that you continue to look at yourself, your strengths and weaknesses. Because if you're able to learn from your strengths, weaknesses, if you're able to know what those are and work on your weaknesses, then you can help hopefully like shed some light on someone else that's coming to the red road, and someone else that's trying to walk the red road, or trying to get to recovery, or even just recognizing in somebody, hey, he's like, hey man, you know what? I struggle with the exact same thing you were. This is how I went about it. This is how I worked on that type of deal. Says thought about our strengths and weaknesses and about ourselves. Yeah, I think this is a good practice to have, to think about your strengths and weaknesses and think about yourself weekly, if not daily. Like, so I know I can be funny, but I don't have to be funny all the time. But I can use that humor to bless somebody. You know, someone that's feeling down. Maybe even just giving them a smile or cracking a little joke and making them laugh. If they're having a bad day. You know, just using those that's a strength that I have. And I know I can use it in a good, positive way like that. And so that's something that I strive to do, especially like with the brothers and sisters that are walking the red road. If I see them, you know, they're kind of, they come into the rooms and they kind of got their head down and they got the long face and they're kind of moping around at the talking circle, man. I try to cheer them up. Like, man, it's good to see you, man. Thank you for coming to the talking circle today, man. It's really good to see you. I try to hype them up, man, gas them up. I'm good at that too, man. I'm good at gassing up people, like hype man. I love to coach. I know I can motivate people in a good way. So, you know, I try to do those type of things. Like, those are just some small two examples. One thing, kind of backtracking to the using dream that I was talking about earlier. Like, man, it was crazy. Like, this last one that I had was just a few weeks ago, maybe about 3 weeks ago now. But it was this winter and I woke up from it, man. It was so vivid, so real. But when I woke up from it, I was just like, whoa, I've been having this dream, like the same dream, the same type of using dream, for a while now. And I think it was over the span of like the fall and winter, I've had this using dream, the same one. Like four times, like the same scenario, like everything wasn't identical, but like the same scenario where I had started using again and I was hiding it and I was still doing the podcast and I was still going to talking circles and I was still mentoring and sponsoring, the other Native men and stuff. And I was hiding it and I was, that's how the dream, the repeating dream was happening. And every time I woke up from it, I was like, oh man, oh, whoo, man, big sigh of relief. I was like, whoo, man, that was just a dream. That was just a dream. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Abadadia. And I'd go into a state of thanking and praise of Abadadia that it was just a dream, and thanking Abadadia for the dream. But it was just like a series, like it would just kept happening. And so, like, I think that's a real thing that could potentially happen. And so I just like, I got to stay on point. I got to stay on guard. I got to protect my recovery. My recovery has to come first. Then a lot of things, because, if I don't have my recovery, I don't have nothing, you know. If I don't have my relationship with God, I don't have my recovery. If I don't have my recovery, if I don't have my walk on the red road, I can't be part of the podcast. I can't be part of my kids' lives. I can't be doing this work that I'm doing. And I can't be pursuing the things that I'm pursuing right now, because My addiction is going to take me all away from all of that. And do I really want to sacrifice all of that? No. No, I do not. I do not. So I really like step four. Think about our strengths and weaknesses and think about ourselves. And then it goes a lot deeper than that, going into like step five and six as well, like thinking about character defects, and thinking about, you know, patterns as far as like patterns that you're doing. When you start to kind of mentally, emotionally relapse, you fall back into that kind of sabotaging pattern. And when you recognize that, like, boom, put a stop to that. All right, I better go talk to somebody. I better get to a meeting. I better take a time out. I better go sit by the river. I better go to church. I better go jump in the sweat lodge. I better go talk to an elder and ask them to pray for me. You know, those type of things, you know, that once we see ourselves falling back into our patterns of self-sabotaging, or, you know, leaning back on our character defects, when we start operating in our character defects, then we got to pull back. We got to call time out, and we got to, you know, regroup and come up with a better game plan. You know, get that food court press ready to go, man. What's that food court press going to look like? Is it man to man, or is it a diamond one, or is it a zone press, or what are we doing? You know. And then after the press, we're going to fall back into man-to-man, or we're going to fall back into a zone. What kind of zone? What kind of zone? Are we going to do a 2-3 or 1-3-1? What are we doing? We're going to do a 3-2? You know, got to come up with a good game plan in that timeout. You know, it's cool that we can recognize that we call timeout, but in that timeout, you got to be very intentional and come up with a good game plan to get back out there, because we want to win. We're not just surviving. We're not just trying to get to the buzzer, final buzzer. No. We want to win. So be very intentional in your timeout. Get your accountability people in your corner. Pray. Call on an elder. Get to that meeting. Get to that church service. Get to that sweat lodge. Whatever it is you need to do in that timeout so that you can come back with a better game plan. Because the opposition, they're ready to go. They're ready to smash your head in. You got to come back with a proper game plan. And that's all I got. Mo Hugs Not Drugs signing out. Shinnick. Hoka.
So that's what that means. You know, I keep hearing this one little theme that I kind of touched on at the beginning, but that idea of a victim stance. Right, like, man, I did those because you made me do that.
Yeah.
Or because of my circumstance, or because I'm Native, or I grew up on the res, or there's nothing else to do. Man, we got to, you know, got to be accountable for ourselves. But what'd you guys get out of that one? Any comments? Any?
No, I think, like, him and Craig really hit it on the head where, it, like, everything stops with other people. It, like, has to be with me.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what he reiterated, was like, man, it made me look at myself. And I think, like, that's really where the real work begins. You know, is that what you call shadow work?
Yeah.
You know, doing a tough work. And like I said, in mine, like, it never, ever really stopped.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I'm thinking about things in my life where the relationships aren't perfect. And it's like, man, like, what was my part in that? But then also working on being nice to ourselves, like Josiah says, like speaking well of ourselves. And that's almost like a constant thing, you know, because like JC was saying, like and I've said it before, but like it's so easy to forgive, but like it's so easy to be graceful or gracious to other people. But it's like being gracious to ourselves.
Yeah.
Because we have to remember that we're valuable too. Like we carry, like, and I feel like that's probably one of the biggest battles internally. It's like, yes, I can encourage the heck out of somebody else. What about me?
Yeah.
How do I encourage myself? You know? And I feel like that's a weakness, but it can be turned into a strength too. Not to be full of ourselves, but like we bring value too. Like, you know what I mean?
I bring all the value.
Yeah, like
better than great value.
Yeah.
But Grape Valley tastes just the same as... No, I'm just kidding. No, but we do, and I feel like it's almost like a cultural thing, right? Like we're taught to be humble. Like we're taught to not speak of ourselves. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But who else is going to love you if you don't love yourself?
And I think with that particular part of our culture, I think some people misunderstand it. I think some people take it to a toxic level. And I think even then, too, some people might even use it as that excuse to not think of yourself as a valuable person. Like, oh, I can't, you know, pray for myself, because we're not supposed to pray for ourselves. We're supposed to pray for other people. Or I can't think of myself as, you know, a success in business, because we're not supposed, you know, we're supposed to be humble. But I think the idea behind that was not to get too big-headed. It was not to get too conceited.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there, you know, you
there's a fine line there.
There's a fine line, yeah. But I think some people, what they were doing was maybe going above that line. But now, you know, we're using it to stay below that line.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that was my thought on it. Did you have anything about anything Josiah said?
No, Josiah hit it right on the head with everything. Like, there's nothing really I can add to it.
Yeah, yeah. And how he was explaining those, you know, because he's always saying you have unlimited timeouts, but kind of went a little more in depth. Like, you're going to want to get that. There's a reason you took a timeout.
Yeah.
All right. What's the game plan? What are we going to do in this situation?
Yep.
You know, and get your people behind you. Those accountability people, not those ones that are going to tell you what you want to hear. You know, you want those people that are going to tell you what you need to hear.
Yeah, you don't want the people to co-sign your BS. You want the people to call out your BS and make you look at the bigger picture instead of trying to be like, oh, no, you're okay for doing that.
Like, oh, you're going to be okay.
Yeah. You want the person to be like, no, man, you should probably not do that, and you should probably get your ass to a meeting.
Because those are the ones that care about you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, I've had how many times my mom had to show me tough love. But at the end of the day, I know she loves me. I mm-hmm. know without a doubt, if I was to call her up and say, hey, I need you, she would show up.
And another thing Josiah was talking about, the used dreams, like, I never thought of them as a thank you. Like, I usually wake up in a panic. But I need to start thanking God when I have those dreams, because it's just a dream. Like, it's my subconscious telling me that I know it's wrong. I know it's bad. I know that I don't need that in my life. And it's showing me in dream form that I'm better than that. And I need to wake up and thank God that I'm in an opportunity that I get to wake up sober, and it's just a dream. I escaped that nightmare that was my past, but now I get to live the true dream.
Yeah, and what I'm grateful about those using dreams is that I can, like, because, you know, dreams are just so vivid sometimes.
Yeah.
They're so real. It's like you're there. I mean, that dreams are your reality in that moment. And so what I'm grateful for is the fact that I get to go through all that horrible bullshit, but it's not real. Like, I wake up and it's like, whoa. Like, there have been times when I woke up from a using dream and I still have this idea of, like, oh, man, I'm going to get in trouble again.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, man, I just threw everything out the window. And then I snap back to reality. I'm like, whoa. I was like, yeah, that was all a dream. And I'm like, whew. Just that relief. So, yeah, I get to relive the horrors of it without actually doing anything stupid.
Yeah.
And so it's like that fresh reminder of, hey, man. It was real, but that's not you anymore. Like you said, like, man, I'm that's not me anymore, and I have this chance to live this life rather than that ugliness. Well, what do you think about old step four, fellers?
I think it's actually probably it's up there because step one is very important. Like, you can talk about what's the importance of the steps, but when you're sitting there doing that soul searching, that the grittiness of this recovery walk, it's the fourth and fifth step.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting there, you're looking at all the destruction, that trail of the destruction that Josiah was talking about, and you're sitting there thinking about what was my part in it. And you do that soul searching and you find out the true you, and you're not that monster that everybody is afraid. You talk to anybody. I have a sponsee right now that doesn't want to do the fourth step because he's afraid that I'm going to judge him.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember doing the same thing before I presented it to my sponsor, that he's going to judge me, that he's going to call me a monster and not want to talk to me. And I got caught up so long on even putting pen to paper. And when I finally talked about it with my sponsor, like, all he did is hug me and said, I see myself in you. And he said, I love you and I respect you. And he shared some of his stuff on his step work. And it's like, why was I in such a huff that someone was going to judge me? I was already jumping to conclusions. All that past trauma was playing in my head that I'm not enough. I'm not worth it. They're going to leave me like everybody did. And all that weakness that this fourth step was talking about started bubbling up again. And I started doing that bad talk that they're just going to disappear just like everybody else. And it's far from it. I got a taste of that relief. Taste of the relief that these steps help you get. And once I started tasting that relief, I never wanted to walk backwards.
Hmm. And it's funny that when we think of that, like, oh man, I got to tell Craig, this is what I did. And this is, you know, how I did it. And then getting it out in the open and then seeing, you know, the other person's reaction, like, don't even bat an eyelash.
Yeah.
Or they say something like, well, I've done that too. I've done that exact same thing. And they're like, oh yeah. So this idea that we're alone or that we're unique or that, you know, we're worse off than other people. It's just, oh man, addiction's a monster. And
it's a humbling experience when you air it out with somebody and they're like, I've been there too.
It is. It is. Because man, that fear.
Yeah.
Fear, like that underlying driving emotion through it all is just fear. And to have courage is to do what it takes despite that fear.
Mm.
You know, it's not the absence of fear, but it's move forward even though you're scared.
In spite of the fear.
In spite of the fear, yep.
Is fear a feeling? Fear is a feeling, right?
For me, it is.
And feelings aren't always true, right? Like, even if we are scared, we gotta push through and do it.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah. Fear can be a driving point.
No, it is. Like, it absolutely is.
It can be a motivator or it can be something that inhibits you.
Yep. Paralyzed in fear.
And you know, you can think of it this way, like your perspective.
Yeah.
Like, what are you focused on? Because that's how it was pointed out to me. It's like, okay, what are you focused on? And if I say, well, I'm focused on the fact that Randy and Craig are going to judge me, then that fear is probably going to be inhibiting, right? It's gonna stop me from trying to move forward. But if I say, well, they're going to judge me, but they are here to help me. Or no, I mean, like, I don't know if they're going to, let me rephrase that. I don't know if they're going to judge me, but I am afraid of that. But I know they're here to help me. And mm-hmm. So I'm just going to let it go and see what happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Did that one make sense? Like, that's, mm-hmm. I had to rephrase it because the way I first said it didn't make any sense. But, like, what am I focused on? I'm focused on getting the help rather than focused on being judged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you.
There you go. Man, that was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys brought that fire. As always, thank you, Josiah, for leaving your little nuggets of knowledge.
Nuggets of wisdom.
Nuggets of knowledge, nuggets of wisdom. Thanks for leaving your nugs.
Dingleberries of knowledge.
What? But with that, you guys got anything to add, close? You got anything burning, as they say?
No.
Maybe I should probably go see a doctor.
All right. Well, hey, you work at a clinic, so. Go downstairs to one of those paper-thin walls and say, I got something burning.
Does it smell infected?
Then all you're going to hear is, okay, well, put your foot on that table and bend your leg like this. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, that smells infected.
Literally the conversation we were having before the podcast started.
Okay, well, right. Without further ado, I just got to say, if you guys are out there, thank you for listening. Could you please like, subscribe, hit that share button, all those other good things that they do on the social media types. If you can, follow us on Podbean. I almost said Facebook. Yeah, do that too. But yeah, follow us on Podbean because that really, really helps us out. And with that, to all our listeners out there in a very spherical earth, in a very large universe, keep spreading the unspoken words, gospel Billy Graham style. Aha, hey, be kind to yourselves. And we are out.
Oh.
Oh.
These unspoken words I'm trying to get out my head. Plug in the mic and leave nothing unsaid. Now sit back, relax, and listen to some real talk.
Now sit back, relax, and listen to some real talk.
You are now listening to Unspoken Words Podcast.